The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
My brother, mean advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, red carpet pro Griffin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me, your Sigmaist brother, Travis McElroy. Woof, woof, what up?
I decided
I'm a Sigma now, by the way. Influencer.
I don't know what that fucking means.
Me neither. I don't know.
Everyone here.
You guys are betas. You're not even alpha.
Okay, everyone
alpha,
here on this beautiful crimson carpet is talking today.
Why did they make the carpet so dark?
It's a dark, dark burgundy red carpet today. We're talking about the Oscar noms. They came out recently.
A little bit ago. Recently.
Everyone's talking, is this the year Leo's gonna get his nut? Leo refers to Leonardo
He's
DiCaprio.
He's never come before in his life.
Leo DiCaprio, that's separate, has
not. Oh, that's not, okay, sorry.
But also, everyone wants this man to get his beautiful golden prize. And yeah, everyone's saying, is this the year? Was he in a movie this year? If so, was he good and better than everyone else who was in movies this year? Timothée Chalamet, Wonka? I don't think so.
I didn't see Wonka in the mix for many of the awards this year.
It came out just a little too late. Missed the window.
Yeah, a little too late for the buzz. I do want to congratulate. I'm so excited. The race, I'd like everybody to just zoom in on a race. The race that has me the most excited is actor in a leading role.
Yeah.
We got Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Cillian Murphy, Jeffrey Wright, and I'm so excited I get to say this again, Paul Giamatti. And I'm so excited
I'm
for
so
Paul.
I'm so stoked for Paul.
Has he ever won?
Sure, but the thing is, when you're a Giamatti head like me, every performance is like a different actor. So it's the Giamatti that won for Sideways, that's a different era. You know what I mean? Like, that was the Sideways era Giamatti.
Not Amazing Spider-Man Giamatti.
Amazing Spider-Man Giamatti. Like, when my kids dress up for Superhero Day, they're not dressing like Sideways Giamatti. They're dressing like, I don't know, Giamatti in The Holdovers, I guess. For some reason, my brain has immediately been wiped of all Paul Giamatti performances other than those few.
Guys, in preparation for my Sketchfest show,
I had
to look up a performer to pull a picture for somebody's character sheet. So when I just clicked over to see what movies Paul Giamatti has been nominated for, I was face-to-face with a lot of images of Jeff Dunham.
Whoa, cool. Whoa.
It was very upsetting. Took me a second to recalibrate. There I am.
Is he flying solo in those JPEGs, or has he got the gang with him? Okay.
No.
Great.
He had.
Is Jeff Dunham nominated this year, Juice?
Oh,
can you check on that?
Let me check the list. No. I'm not seeing Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham passed over again for his 4-hour-long comedy special. Yeah, they're puppets. You want to make something of it?
Yeah.
Which my family loved, and I think really
all our families loved it. I thought for a second you were going to say Jeff Dunham passed away, and to which I would laugh, not from the joy that he has passed, but the idea that he could pass. When the legacy of these puppets he's left behind, puppets don't die.
Okay, wait a minute, Griffin.
They just fade away.
This is an extremely good point that I need.
Thanks, Juice. I'm just full of them.
hey, is there a Jeff Dunham succession plan? This is what I need to know. Is that does Jeff Dunham have a living will for the puppets to make sure that they can continue to live after he has passed?
Or do they retire? Is it like, oh, now your service is, you're done. You guys can
death
sit.
Is retirement is death to a puppet. Retirement is death. You get
retirement
put in the box,
is death to a that's puppet. That, retirement
that
is
sounds
death.
Like a real non-puppet saying that, Justin. You know what I mean? It's like an argument someone would use as they raise the retirement age. You know what I mean? Be careful.
Yeah. They love working, these puppets. These puppets, they love to be out there on the stage. They don't want to sit around.
I think
they want to be busy. It's good for their circulatory systems.
I think the only Jeff Dunham succession plan, I'm going to...
is that he's going to get on Succession season 5. It's going to be about Jeff Dunham.
His most playing all the parts.
Right. His... That would be good, actually.
To Freebie, the new reality series, Who Wants to Take My Puppets After I'm Dead, starring Jeff Dunham.
The only Jeff Dunham succession plan that makes sense to me or anyone. And is it in bad taste to talk about a fellow comedian passing away on
your
own comedy podcast? Oh, okay.
Well, I don't... He's a human being, but we...
Is he?
So we must... Yes,
how do you know he's not a bigger puppet, Justin?
That's what I'm saying.
Look at the evidence, mortal. Justin.
He's mortal. He's mortal. And we must confront this. Jeff Dunham has obviously thought, like, he's been looking at the puppets like, I got to find a good home for you. JIC of my untimely passing.
Yeah, but the problem is, Justin, he can't announce that plan or else he immediately is going to put a target on his back.
A huge target.
As soon as he's like, yeah, I'll give it to Greg when I die. Like, Greg is going to gun for him. Because I assume at this point billions in those puppets. Maybe literally. I don't know if Jeff Dunham trusts banks.
Jeff Dunham's a billionaire for sure. Greg wouldn't gun for him because there's always the chance that a stray bullet could catch one of the puppets. And that's
true.
It's not worth it. The only plan that makes sense is Jeff Dunham becomes a puppet himself for a larger comedian. For an even bigger comedian, and we keep passing it up and up. Or maybe his soul enters one of his puppets, and he doesn't get to choose. He shouldn't get to choose.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Hey, can I tell you guys two things? One, P. Giamatti. Can we get back to P. Giamatti real quick?
I'd love to get back into P. Giamatti.
He's been nominated for Cinderella Man in 2006.
Great
Oscars.
In that fucking flick. Holy
nominated,
shit,
didn't
what a
win.
Good job.
Nominated, didn't win. Has never been nominated until... now, for the holdovers.
Why do we struggle with the word nominated so much?
Nominated? What are they... I think that's fucked up. Also, Oscars, can I offer you a suggestion? Mix it up a little bit with the categories.
Just to circle back around there, Trav, Giamatti did not win for Sideways. That got flipped in my head. Lowell from Wings won from Sideways.
Easy.
How does... Hey, Giamatti, are you doing all right?
How you doing?
Because that's got to be a tough... That's got to be a tough pill, brother, that Lowell from Wings scooted in there before you. That's tough. I hope he gets in there for Sideways.
Holdovers. Shit, let me check the norms here. Uh-oh. Who's also nominated for the holdovers? Antonio Scarpacci. I fucked his name up. Let me try again. Antonio Scarpacci from Wings also. Tony Shalhoub. Fuck. His real name's
Tony
Shalhoub.
I would love to see some categories in the Oscars that are maybe a little more... I don't know, whimsical, like person who was in the most good movies with other people, you know, like this thing of like, oh, this guy was in a movie with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio and Denzel Washington this year. Good for you, dude. And
guys, in hockey, they make a big deal out of what they call assists, which is when someone does, when someone scores a goal, if you helped, you get a little special treat. After the game, and they call it an assist.
On your nose
they should do this. They should do this for Oscars.
Straight up, Cillian Murphy put out a statement that was like, "It's fucked up that David Krumholtz did not get nominated for Oppenheimer. We could not have made that movie without Oppenheimer. It was a depressing ass movie to make, and David Krumholtz was funny and made us all laugh, and it was great. And it
kept our spirits alive.
I'm fucking pissed. Listen, I love that I was. This is 100% true. The wording's not right, but he was like, "It's fucked up that you guys didn't nominate David Krumholtz. We couldn't have made this." Movie without him.
That's my best friend.
That's my best friend, David Krumholtz. It's fucked up that you guys would put my name on there and not David Krumholtz. Fucked up. I mean, and then he goes on to say, I still like that I'm nominated.
I still do like this. I'm not turning it down.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I just think it's fucked.
Don't give my spot to David Krumholz or anything, but I'm not doing a Rudy Jersey moment. But
I think it was really cool that after Ken from the movie Barbie, mm-hmm. after he got nominated, he made a big fuss. He was like, listen, I appreciate this. It really means a lot to me. But honestly, David Krumholz was so good.
He was so good at Oppenheimer. It's not my place to say this, but
I do think David Krumholz should be honored in some way.
The film I was in was a landmark film, important with a lot of important performances and a lot of
nominated
important work
for
happening
best
behind
feature.
The camera. Nominated for a lot of things. But I will say, if you look at the story of David Krumholz's career.
Yeah.
This would have been such a nice little fascinator to place on top of it.
Yeah.
And you could have put him in any category. Honestly.
Anyone.
Like, listen, maybe you don't have room in Best Supporting. You don't have room in Best Actor. Great. Can you put him in Director? Can you put him in Writer? One of the ones that doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what one of the ones that you deliver off screen.
Yeah,
that was a joke. Directors and writers, please don't be mad at me. That was a joke. You guys are great.
Yeah, Trav, really that's going to be the thing that keeps directors and writers from busting down our fucking door, man.
This offer is gonna
I don't want
right
the offers to stop.
Not the fact that we just planned Jeff Dunham's estate live to tape. That's the thing you said is the reason why we don't have success in Hollywood.
Can I just say, Griffin, if you really look... Do you think that me saying writers and directors aren't important is less offensive to them than us saying, like, I wonder when Jeff Dunham's going to die and give his puppets to somebody?
One of them sounds conspiratorial, is all I'm saying.
That's true.
In a way that makes Hollywood pretty nervous.
Now, to be fair, everybody is kind of worried about who's pulling the strings in Hollywood. Jeff Dunham is a puppeteer.
Jeff Dunham's a
just
puppeteer.
Saying, it's one for one. Jeff Dunham's running the whole thing. How else would Jeff Dunham have been allowed to become famous?
Don't be afraid of Jeff Dunham. Be afraid of the bigger comedian who's going to control Jeff Dunham one day.
They made up NIAID?
Sorry?
Do you think they made up NIAID? It got a lot of nominations, and
I've never heard of this.
Exactly. I'm not convinced it's a real one.
Is David Krumholz in it?
David Krumholz passed.
What? Oh, you mean passed on the movie. Oh, God, Jess, you scared me so bad there for a minute.
Damn, dude.
Oh.
Congratulations to all this year's nominees. I don't know why people are so frustrated about Greta and Margot when I know that I have not voted for my SAG Awards yet. So that's the real prize, and it is still on the horizon, Margot, and I am doing what I can.
Hey, we gotcha. You're looking at three voting members of the Screen Actors Guild. So
I imagine waited.
Yes. Imagine Ms. Robbie, if you will, your mantle with a saggy at the top, and I think you're going to be very happy.
A real saggy award.
A real saggy just for you.
If you get the saggy and all the other ones, you can get yourself a stooge, which is what you call it when you get all five of the awards.
You can trade them in for an Oscar.
That is true. Yes, I'm also willing to make Margot Robbie, and this is a big step, but I'm willing to make Margot Robbie a certificate that says honorary McElroy brother. And we don't extend that a lot, but I'm willing to offer that
Let's talk about that off the air.
Just as we always do, assuming Margot Robbie has not said problematic things in the past that I'm not aware of.
I was going to say, Trav, in 2011, when we gave our first one, you were like, Hercules. And so Kevin Sorbo is technically an honorary McElroy brother. We can't take that away.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit, when I look back at that choice I made, I'm disappointed!
Hey, okay. Bazinga. Hey. Have we been going for an hour yet?
Have I ever talked about when he yelled disappointed because he read it in the parentheticals of the script?
Yeah.
Okay. I think everyone
this is
knows.
Well, this is territory. Yeah.
It just makes me so happy.
It's the best thing he ever did. Only good thing.
Only good thing. My friend has been telling me about the numerous health benefits of crawling around on the ground. 5 minutes a day, they say, could change your life. Every time I try it.
Quick Google.
And I'm going to read it. Somebody else has to Google it. Every time I try it, it feels great. And I can imagine how cool it would feel to do full-on loping bear run across the neighborhood park. However, when I inevitably find myself having to stand up to reach counters, turn on lights, etc., I forget to return my crawl until days or weeks later. How can I get better at remembering to incorporate crawling around on the ground into my daily routine? That's from Inconsistently Crawpilled in Portland. Travis, is this anything?
Is your friend Samara from The Ring? First question.
Is this an extended prank?
No, so I'm seeing stuff about it's like good for your core and get good core stability. Something about your vestibular system. I don't know what vestibules have to do with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Mayo Clinic is like crawling to better your health.
We are describing yoga on the go. Goga.
Yeah.
Is what this Goga. Is. It feels, I don't know if you guys have ever done stationary basic ass yoga or awesome mobile goga. But it feels pretty good to get down there and like move your body in ways that it's sort of unaccustomed to for stretches at a time. And that's just all this is, but you can get around.
I've not done yoga. I'm worried about, I guess the physical and spiritual positions it puts me in. I'm afraid it would allow, I don't know, Griffin, it feels so vulnerable. I can't imagine being in a yoga position and being ready to defend my life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if we were ever hanging out and I saw you get into a vulnerable position, I'm gonna bag tag. Just because we're bros and, like, that's what we do. Can you guys fucking imagine if we were hanging out together and one of us struck one of the other two in the testicles? The fucking, like, completely wild, out of character. That would be such a horrific betrayal.
Well, Justin and I both had vasectomies, so like it wouldn't affect us at all.
Oh, you still feel stuff down there?
Not anymore. True.
Okay, cool, cool. What was the question? What was the question?
How do you remember to crawl?
Stuff on the ground.
That's one option. You could also have a fire controlled, but going in your house. A control burn that is sort of going to create a layer of smoke that is inopportune to dwell in.
The first time you do that, that's a great idea. I don't know how you follow that up with a repeat. Like, that's not how we build habits.
It has to cycle, though, Justin, because that helps rebuild the forest floor. You know what I mean? You go too long without a burn in your house, and you're going to get a lot of buildup of old trees blocking out the sunlight and everything. You need some of the burn to replenish nutrients in the soil and leave room for new growth. And all this is assuming that the question asker is a bear. Important to note.
Could you build?
Have kids. I mean, it's honestly like,
that's true.
And then your floor will be covered with detritus 100% of the time. What? There's always detritus to get you down there.
Security laser grid.
What?
Cool. Laser grid. Ooh. And you're doing some entrapment level, like boom, 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 around all the time. That's got to be good for your core, right? Now, you will have to set up stakes. There will have to be something that happens if you trigger a laser, because otherwise, by day three, you're just walking through the lasers, right?
Well, you got
something
you got
needs to happen.
You got to dead drop Fabergé eggs all around the house. Spend all your money on Fabergé eggs. What's that?
I'm already doing that.
Spend all your money on Fabergé eggs. Put them all over the house. Set up a laser grid system. Have a guy there with a big bat. And if you do set off the alarms, he's going to go smash up all your Fabergé eggs, taking all your money away. Yeah. Now we're
not
crawling.
Not attack you.
How about this? When the big man isn't smashing the Fabergé eggs, he's standing in the middle of the room, bat out straight in his hand, spinning around like a crazy whirlwind, like a crazy tornado of bats. You cannot stand up. You will be hit by the bat if you are at his level.
Lower ceilings.
That's good.
That's a good one, too.
What? Just build lower ceilings. How fun would that be? Not only do you get to crawl around, you make tunnels in your house.
Yeah.
But if you get really pissed off, you can stand up and just be like, roar, like shatter right through. That'd be awesome.
And then what if they're on like a ratcheting system so you can raise the roof back up if you need to? And then it's like, I have friends coming over. They don't crawl. They're not in the lifestyle. So then you have to like turn a handle to raise the ceiling back up.
Why would you deny him, though?
That's a good point.
We can all agree how great crawling is.
How come they never made Fabergé birds? You'd think after a while, everybody who wanted a Fabergé egg had a Fabergé egg, and they're like, now it needs something else to go with it. And you're like, okay, here's a Fabergé bird, and you put that Fabergé bird on top of it, and eventually a Fabergé baby bird will pop out.
That took me a while to get... You went somewhere just now that I was so far away from that I didn't even know the place you were at existed, and so it took me a while to figure out why you were saying that there should be Fabergé birds. Uh-huh. Until I eventually remembered that birds traditionally do come out of eggs.
Would it have been better if I'd said, why didn't they make like Fabergé sausage and Fabergé croissants so that I could make a Fabergé breakfast sandwich?
I would love a Fabergé sausage. I think that would be really strong. If someone came into my house and they saw a beautiful jewel encrusted wiener, great. That's great for me.
That's better than a saggy, frankly.
We have given out so many answers to this fucking question, Justin. You are wringing blood from a stone by not moving on.
I moved to a very small town. The population is approximately 1,400, where things like cussing and swearing are frowned upon. For example, I heard a waitress say, oh, my stars. She made a mistake. The same waitress is very nice.
She was crucified in the streets.
I want to ask her out. There's one major issue. I curse like a sailor. I mean that. I was raised by two of them. Brothers, how do I stop swearing every other word? Sincerely, Justin?
Bum, bum, bum. I looked it up, by the way, because they included the name of the town. And I 1,400, the population. It sincerely is like Twin Peaks looking like in Montana. Beautiful, like a river right next to the town. Mountains overlooking it.
Did they say if they were a transplant into this area or not?
Yeah, they've recently moved there.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. I was going to say, if you've always lived here, why do you cuss so much?
That's I'm kind of the bad boy of my small town.
Of my whole town. You don't want to, hold on.
Do you think you could get ostracized? Could you curse enough to where people would talk about it?
Yes.
Because then you've got a little bit of mystique going.
Oh, yes. You're like the Kevin Bacon of swearing in this small town. That's you're bringing right. swearing in.
Fuck yeah. You put on a denim jacket and you come strolling up to the diner, walk in, pop your collar and just go like, bastard. And everyone's like, oh,
whoa. And all the teens get behind you and they're going, bastard, 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 bastard.
And now I'm going to cut loose. Fuck loose. And I'll
fuck
everybody
loose.
Shit everybody fuck
everybody ass everybody damn fuck loose fuck.
I got my dick on the ground.
I mean
I have had a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun cursing at home. I do think it's also funny to say things like crumbs is a good one. That can be even more intentional because you're using that language intentionally.
Yeah.
Which is the problem with cursing. If you're using it unintentionally, then it loses its power. But if you mid-conversation are like, oh, shucks. Yeah. People are going to take notice. That's someone who's really angry.
Yeah. There are so many good ones, shit. Like Land of Goshen is a good one.
No.
Yeah. Gold Blimey. Zutalore. Can you start doing some French ass cussing? Zutalore, mon Dieu, merde.
No, because that's cussing. I hate when people do that when they say stuff in other languages that's still cussing.
You hate when people speak in other languages? Griffin doesn't like when people don't speak English.
Let me cook. I mean, the thing I was going to say isn't anything. So, I mean, it's not
you're cooking an empty pot.
I subject myself. I'm cooking. I'm making stone soup over here. With
you would rather I not put a big frame around it. You draw a small crowd. Yeah.
Let him cook. Shit. I was just peeling a potato for fun. No, come on. Let him cook.
Cook it up. Fuck.
Good news, Griffin's bit. It's time to put you in the shop window. You've got your chance. Come on, Griffin's bit. Gather around, everyone. Some of those old. What do they call them? Like when the Shakespearean curses, where they like crosswords, something like that, like zunes. You know what I mean? Like sort of for God's wounds. Yeah. Zunes is good, but it makes you sound like a dork, which is why the curse words, the regular ones, are so cool.
God's They're blood really is cool. a good one, though. We can bring
God's
that.
Blood.
God's
is,
blood, it makes me mad.
Hey, I shout wild. Out to this town if they're offended by cursing, but if you're like, blood of Christ, they're like, oh, I'd rather you not do that.
Actually, can you just say fuck? We all talked about yeah. it.
Listen, just say fuck.
It wasn't hard. There's only 1,400 of us. We got together. And 1,399 of us agreed we'd rather just you say fuck than stop calling people like curs or whatever you've been doing. We don't like that anymore. Just say basket. Could, it's fine.
You could revitalize the town's economy by putting a swear jar in City Hall and make it so that when anyone cusses anywhere in the city, they have to go to City Hall and put it, a coin in the swear jar. And maybe at the end of the year, you guys buy a bunch of crab legs.
Bigger jars.
Bigger jars with that money. For more and more cussing until we turn this into the foulest, dankest swamp of profanity that does exist in all of the United States.
Listen,
don't do that.
1,400 people, you need a thing. You need a hook. Your town needs a hook. What if it was the town that always cusses? Hey, do you want to go to the cuss capital of the world? Yeah. Here, every word's a cuss.
Or the town that never cusses.
And that seems more attainable. Like, if you need a tourist thing, why not do the thing that you're already doing?
Oh, okay. Cuss Fest 2024.
Don't uproot this one town day, from the firmament.
One day a year, they get all their cusses out.
Yeah.
And then you make it a big festival.
Cuss Day is good. I like the idea of a cuss day.
Check this out. Movie. Trucker stops in this town, stops at the diner. And they're like, what can I get you? And he's like, a cup of coffee, please, for the road. And they give it to him. He spills it on his lap. And he's like, ah, shit. Everyone in the diner looks up at him, terrified. And the server is like, you gotta
go.
And he's like, what? And she's like, you gotta go. You gotta get out of town. It's quick. And then you hear coming because the Grim Reaper, the cussing, there's something that's like a monster.
I don't know what you're saying, Griffin. I would love to help you.
It's like this a big monster that comes after you if you cuss, and then it's like a quiet place where, like, if you cuss, like, the monster's going to come and get you and kill you. And so now
just
they have
like
to get...
Just like in the movie when the bird dragons or whatever the fuck are about to eat Drunker than his kid, he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then they come for him.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And that's why John Krasinski's just running away going, fuck, 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 fuck. And the monster's like, that is bothering me so much, John Krasinski. This is a family restaurant.
I'm glad that helped. I have a mode. You guys have a mode. Everybody has a mode, right?
No cussing mode.
You flip the switch.
Yep.
You have flip the switch. I do it on Sawbones. I don't do it anywhere else.
I will say that my favorite version of that mode is when long car trip, kids are like watching their iPad, maybe they got headphones on. And I'm like, I know that right now isn't 100% safe for me to cuss.
Yeah.
But I can cuss quietly to my wife. And it's the most I feel back in like 10th grade, 11th grade, where you're like cussing and you're like,
yeah,
shit. Yeah. And I was like, what is all this shit? And I feel so like I've gotten away with something. It's a little treat for me.
You got to be careful, though, because if you start making it seem too interesting or too important, the obsession will set in. Last night, my wife and I were trying to have a very normal conversation about Saltburn.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, the bathtub thing. And I said, honey,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Honey, other people do. Honey. If you say it again, they will haunt you to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
They'll never rest until you tell them, and you absolutely can't.
Yeah.
Please don't mention things like that again. And immediately, as I was saying that, both of them veered into the dining room. Like they had been, like they sensed the electricity in the air. They know. They always know.
I paused the TV watching Death and Other Details. As Dot walked into the room, she said, what is this movie? And I, without thinking, said, oh, it's a murder mystery. And she said, what is that? And I was like,
what is murder?
What is murder?
Yeah.
The concept of murder?
Uh-huh. Hey, this might surprise you. Hasn't come up a lot with my 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Doesn't come up on fire. It doesn't come up on Fire Buds. Doesn't come up a lot in Paw Patrol.
What did you tell her that Dr. Frankenfurter did to Eddie?
It hasn't come up a lot with my 4-year-old.
You guys don't watch Rocky Horror every
now,
couple weeks?
Now, to be fair, sorry. Never once, she does enjoy Nightmare Before Christmas, and she's never been like, what did Jack Skellington do to Oogie Boogie? Right? Okay. And which I would say self-defense.
Now, there was, I will say,
alive.
Manslaughter at worst.
Quick correction. There was the episode of Paw Patrol where Mayor Humdinger is murdered in his home. And
yeah, okay. But Mayor Humdinger faked it. Faked his own death, though. So that was easy
still,
to say.
You still, I got to push back. You still learn when Chase rolls up into Mayor Humdinger's house and is like, we got a 187.
Yeah.
We got a 187. It's the mayor.
And I'll tell you what's wild about that. They never question where Mayor Humdinger got the corpse from that he set fire to when he pretended like it was his. They just blazed right over that.
Yeah. Speaking of blaze, the wildest thing about that episode is it is still 11 minutes long.
Yeah.
And this thing hauls ass.
Yeah.
In trucks.
Hold on for the ride of your life, because at the end, there's still a moral about not wasting food.
Yeah.
So there's like whole murder mystery. They just like chuck right through.
They do a lot. That's also when they introduce Shadow Rubble, Shadow Rubble shows up. The shadow version of Rubble, the yellow one of him. The yellow one of them. He did the 187. He did the murder.
He
did the murder.
That's kind of sucked, actually, because I like that's a cheat. You
that's
know
a cheat.
What I mean?
Like, yeah, I like Shadow Rubble. I like Shadow Rubble.
If I knew there's a Shadow Rubble, I'd be like, him. It's him. That's him.
That one did.
He did it.
Yeah.
Listen, we need to take a break to make some money for Jesse. And that's what he says. That's how he puts it. And
we are Fagin's boys, and we every day trot to San Francisco with our with our haul.
You've got to make a podcast or two.
Holy shit,
boys! You've got to make a podcast or two. Where are doctors? Nobody knows. They're elusive.
They're without borders, man. They keep fucking going all over the dang place.
And just when you think, like, finally, I've contained this doctor. No.
Nope. Zoop. Right out of there.
Right out of there. It's hard to pin them down. It's hard to find them. And listen, especially if you move to a new town, what are you going to do? Ask somebody? No.
Nope.
That's icky. No, you're going to use ZocDoc, right?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things. Listen. Sometimes the fun is in the hunt, right? If you're snuffling for gubbins, you love it, right? But you don't want to have to snuffle for doctors. You want to use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's amazing. You can even score same-day appointments. So, listen, I don't know about you. I'm getting older.
I fuck with ZocDoc here in D.C. because it's hard. It's very challenging to find.
You
a
moved,
doctor.
Right? You uprooted. So you got
uprooted. I had to find new place, new guys, and they didn't have like a bunch of like gigonzo hospitals like every city in Texas. And so it was hard hunting them down. ZocDoc got me there. Thanks, Zoc.
So go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
I am out of Squarespace jokes.
Oh no!
And Griffin, you were telling me you'd like to make a website about how you are you can't think of any more jokes of Squarespace.
Yes, I'm making a website about how I love Squarespace. I genuinely think it's a great platform, and I endorse it full-throatedly. But I also endorse it full-throatedly in up to 4 podcasts a week. And sometimes it can be hard to come up with jokes about making a website. So maybe this one's serious. And I just tell you that Squarespace is the best. And I don't know anything about computer engineering or anything. But Squarespace allowed me to make a very beautiful website. And just go to – it's Squarespace. It's, you know it. They let you also do pro-level videos with the Squarespace Video Studio app. And videos is the future of mankind.
Whoa.
They have all kinds of like extensions for and like third party tools that you can use to make your website do different stuff. They also have member areas that you can do, and so you can have like a little cool, you can call it a cool zone or whatever, for members to come into, set yourself up a new revenue stream, and invite in, you know, the most special people in your lives. So Squarespace is the way to do all this. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I love that.
Soundheap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts. Like, if you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey.
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Soundheap with John Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Soundheap with John Luke Roberts now.
Oh, darling, why won't you accept my love?
My dear, even though you are a duke, I could never love you. You borrowed a book from me and never returned it.
Save yourself from this terrible fate by listening to Reading Glasses.
We'll help you get those borrowed books back and solve all your other reader problems.
Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Let's help someone else. I'm not going to stop helping people.
Yeah.
Today, my partner and I completed the process of buying a new home, and we couldn't be more excited. Imagine a life where you buy a new home and you think, I've got to email the McElroy brothers about this.
What? I don't think that's so the end of the question, Joseph.
It's your first email is to us, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. Congratulations.
Everybody wants shit from us. They never come to us to share their joys.
With good news. We did not know anything about the people selling the house, but just hours after we officially closed the deal, we learned that they are moving from the house they sold us to the house right next door, meaning they will also be our new neighbors. Should I be happy, since if I have any questions about the new house, I can just holler over a fence? Or should I be weirded out, since they will clearly know this house better than we do and will be on hand to judge how well we take care of it? That's from Domestic Concerns in D.C., and this is a doozy.
This is a doozer right here. Certified doozer.
I don't think you need to worry about them knowing the house so well that they judge how you take care of it. I think there's lots of other stuff you need to be worried about.
Like?
If this happened to me, right? First thing I think is, what do they know about this house that I don't? That they love this neighborhood so much. They love this location so much.
Can't stand this house, though.
Can't stand this house, though. They're willing to go through the selling and buying process, which is no small feat.
The only problem. We love everything about this place. The one thing is the actual house that we are living in, I gotta get out.
Such shit.
I gotta get out.
I even love the specific view that we have from this house.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to move that view 25 feet to the right just to get out of this
I hate
piece
this house
of
shit. I hate
this house so much. What this question doesn't tell you is that that family bought their house from their neighbor. And every year, everyone just moves. Hey, guys, there's something here. Every couple of years.
Thank you.
Everyone just move one to the right.
Change places. And they just all shift their stuff over.
Do you get to know your neighbors that way a little bit better? I would say they are going to judge every fucking thing that
everything
you do in this.
You
are going to be setting up your kitchen day one and you put your microwave in this corner and you're just going to hear like on the window, like, that's not how we did it. That's not where we put the microwave.
I've always lived in Huntington, so except for a rather unfortunate 4 years at the beginning of my life in Milton, West Virginia. The less we speak of that, the better.
That was the first 4 years of your life, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was. I had very little control in the matter. Thank you for that reminder, Travis. I will still regularly go out of my way to drive past places that Sydney and I have lived previously.
Yeah.
To see what they're doing. I do it at our old house on 10th Street.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Which is next to the apartment Sydney and I had a block down. I'll check up on them.
Yeah.
Checked up on Patrick when he bought our house.
Yeah.
I check up on Patrick. I see what Patrick's doing. Huh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it that way. Why did you do it that way?
Especially when it comes to like, oh, you cut down that tree that was growing there.
That's the one that chaps my ass a lot. Hey, pal.
Yeah.
You Patrick, don't know who planted that.
Patrick does listen to this show, I'm pretty sure. So
good.
That's
hey, Patrick, okay. Did you chop down a fucking tree? Huh? You got to be honest. It's like George Washington.
Patrick that had Justin's Children's Heights carved into it, which is a really shitty way of tracking your kids' heights.
Yeah, it changes.
The tree moves. Like, the tree does. It's going to change. It's going to change over time. This is such a nightmare. This is such
a scary nightmare. The thing that is most concerning about it is that they at no point said, we'll be moving next door.
Yeah.
Because that is
entrapment.
Is entrapment. They should legally tell you that. Guys, it might be nice for mail.
Yeah,
mail
that's true.
Is nice.
Mail
It'll be nice to not have to track down. You know, you just chuck it over the fence.
I'm absolutely kicking myself over here, guys.
Okay.
Because you know what? I forgot. The old Riddle. There's two barbers in town, right? Cool. One with a good haircut, one with a bad haircut. Which barber do you go to?
Yeah.
You go to the one with the bad haircut because the other barber cut his hair, right? How does that apply to the situation? I'm glad you asked. They moved over to this house because they love the other house so much they want to be able to look at it. When they were inside of their house, they couldn't see the inside. And so what they know now is that the house you're moving into is beautiful to look at. And the one they're moving into sucks to look at from the outside.
Sucks to look at. Yeah.
You have to look at this shitty ass house.
Yeah.
Oh, they wanted to look at their house. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because your main mode of interacting with any house is looking at it, the outside of it. And not living in it and putting it.
How often do you look at the outside of your own house, Griffin? Compared to how often you see the outside of your neighbor's house.
I mean, when I got the White House across the street, it's hard to look at anything else. That house
yeah.
Way
hey, congratulations on scoring that prime location, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank
the Capitol
you.
Building.
Yep. 2000 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Griffin lives in the Capitol Building.
That's not what
his
it is.
Shed?
That would actually
the Smithsonian.
What is the address of the White House, says the only brother that lives in Washington,
1600
D.C.
Pennsylvania
1600. So 2000 Pennsylvania Avenue would actually be quite far, quite
at least
quite
four blocks away.
Away,
I think.
That's a Taco Bell. Let me see what's at 2000 Pennsylvania Avenue. Let's see. There's a, you know, there's some good stuff. Western Market Food Hall. Great. Yeah. I live in the Western
Is it a good neighborhood? You would live there?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I actually know this building. Yeah, yeah, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah,
anybody else want to talk about
so.
Different places in Washington, D.C. and their addresses? Thank you so much, Justin.
I want a munch
squad.
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. And whenever I go to Chuck E. Cheese, what is my first thought as I dig into my pizza pie?
How did I get here? There's no Chuck E. Cheese in Huntington, West Virginia. Where am I?
Wow. I have a Billy Bob's Wonderland that just got bought by Fun City, by the way, guys. So
what?
All the stuff from Fun City.
Yep.
Over to the Billy Bob's. So Billy Bob's is absolutely overstuffed with all the stuff from Fun City. And who's moving into the old Fun City location at the mall? It's Dave and Buster's. Huntington
oh my
is
God.
Alive again.
Is
shaking. Yes.
By which you mean Barbersville, but yeah.
Don't. Oh, we
not
can't
now.
Do this.
Not here.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about
You're right.
Lack of foresight
right.
of the Huntington City Council in the mid-70s that decided it would be better to put the mall in Barbersville because they didn't want to kill businesses downtown, which they did a fine job of that on its own. Not the topic. The topic today is when I dig into the pizza pie at Chuck E. Cheese, my first thought is always, how can I get this flavor at home? Good news.
Like
Chuck
pizza?
Chuck E. Cheese launches a new cookbook.
How to get pizza
right.
at home?
Chuck E. Cheese, the beloved family entertainment brand that's been delighting families for decades, has extended the Chuck E. Cheese experience beyond the fun centers. That's what it says, with the launch of the Chuck E. Cheese and Friends Party Cookbook with Weldon Owen Publishing. Note here, Weldon Owen was the publisher of the Sawbones book. That is not true.
Yeah, yeah, but it is good, Justin, to clarify there's a conflict of interest. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
There had to be just one person in the room who came up with fun centers and then didn't tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
Because that is the most surface level Orwellian doublespeak that I've maybe ever heard in my entire life.
Doctor, can you save him? No, as you can see here on the x-ray, the damage is to his fun centers. There's nothing, we can't.
If you look at his brain activity, his fun center is completely flat. So
no.
Chefs, mini chefs, and party planners should get ready to eat and dance
chefs,
the night away.
Mini chef? Oh, like chefs. Like kids. Okay.
Yeah. In the Chuck E. Cheese and Friends Party Cookbook, the gang has fun and tasty parties they want to share with everyone. From Chuck E. Cheese's night party. No, sorry. Chuck E.'s game night party to Jasper T. Jowl's Howlin' Hoot Nanny and Helen Henny's all-day breakfast sleepover.
Now, wait. Hold on.
Drill down on just... I want to talk about Helen
One
Henny's
at a time. Yeah. One at a time,
breakfast
Juice.
Sleepover.
That was too much too fast. One at a time, please.
Charles Entertainment's having a night party?
Is I'm talking about Chuck E. Cheese's night party.
Chuck E.
No one can see in the nighttime.
Come to game night party.
You guys know Freddy Fazbear? I think you'll enjoy my night party.
Helen Henny's all day breakfast sleepover.
Okay.
Now,
what could that be?
If I ate breakfast all day, I would need to sleep. That is a good call. If I had waffles all day, I'm a sleepy boy. That is true.
This person continues unattended. I refuse to believe the author of this had a supervisor. Each party is chock full of delicious theme recipes, from tasty vamples for your next Halloween party.
What?
Vamples?
Vamples?
Is it vampire samples? Is it what? Vamples?
It's vamples.
Vamples.
And to French toast dippers for the kids' next slumber party, to Bella's favorite quesadilla pizza from her festive fiesta, and more.
Fuck yes.
Hey, can we go back? I feel like we just scooched past whatever the Commander Jowl's Howlin' Good Time was.
Yeah,
what was it?
We don't need to talk about Jasper T. Jowl's Howlin' Hootenanny. you can also share some of Pasquale's hilarious jokes, listen to DJ Munch's remix of Chuck E's Happy Dance, and cut loose with the spring sensation that's sweeping the nation, the Spring Break Breakdance.
Spring Break Breakdance.
Good news, you can pre-order it now.
Oh!
Yeah, I think I will. Is it an audio book?
It could beat the rush. No,
is
it's
it
an actual book.
Okay, but there's music in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just the lyrics
of... There's links to videos, links to video dance
in the
parts.
Book? In the book?
I guess.
Yeah, so you
click the book?
You click on the page? You just push the book and it opens?
I will say this.
Yes.
It would be great if you could do links in books, and it would be even better if this was the first book to crack that technology open. If this be, it would revolutionize sort of school, like textbooks in general, and to have this be the creator of that technology would be a huge moment for history.
Now listen, I'm looking at this, and looking at it, I see that this is geared probably more towards children and parents of children.
I'm sorry, Travis, do you mean mini chefs?
Mini chefs. How great would it be though? If this was like a fucking like Gordon Ramsay, Nigella Lawson, serious ass, and it was just called like Chuck E. Cheese PZA or whatever, and it was just him like at like a marble countertop, just like tasting like marinara from a spoon while he looked at the camera, and it was fucking serious ass, like how to throw a Chuck E. Cheese party. That's all I want now. More serious Chuck E. Cheese literature.
The pizza is my favorite member of the Food Tank Clan. Is that anything?
Okay, I'm looking at the cookbook cover real quick.
Yeah.
I think...
I'm seeing a lot of unfamiliar faces on here.
I think the chef on the left
is
Pasquale, if I had to guess.
Okay.
He's a... Who's this?
There's a purple monster. There's no other way to put it. It's a purple monster.
Who's this purple monster?
They got their own Grimace. Everybody wants a Grimace.
Yeah, but he's got a little bit too much.
Hold on 1 second. Well, hold on 1 second. Juice, your camera is off. Is it just?
Yeah, I'll face it as soon as we're done with this.
Well, this is this. Is this not the show?
Yeah, just as soon as we're done talking about this.
Okay, I'm just talking about the purple monster, man. You know what? I could be done talking about this, Justin. Are you okay?
Oh, all right.
Greetings.
So that was a really, really chill entrance. One of the chillest entrances we've ever. Is that another Griffin. New cape?
Griffin, I would say if you hadn't decided to hang a lantern on it, it may have been a little more seamless.
Yeah, a lot of
you had to stop everything.
Yeah, sure.
Greetings, gentlemen. I am Count Donut.
Yeah. New cape. I want to hang a lantern on the new cape because you're serving young Pope Realness.
Well, thank you. It is a Superman cape.
Oh, really?
Because I'm feeling really super today. Because I get to tell you about the newest invention from my blood brother, Dave Scanlon. At the Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme rolls out heart-shaped donuts.
Of course.
Oh, right.
In a custom donuts box.
Sorry.
One more time. Okay, with the accent, that it. Why don't you send that word to...
I will try it in a different accent.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
Custom donuts box.
Donuts.
This Valentine's Day, Krispy Kreme is filling the world with love by providing guests with four all-new heart-shaped donuts in a delightful custom donuts dozens box that can be personalized.
Awesome.
Oh.
Great.
Yes. Beginning today through Valentine's Day, Krispy Kreme's new Valentine's Day donuts collection is perfect for sharing love with family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, or anyone special in your life.
Yeah.
New donut flavors include You Color My World, which is a donut.
Not a flavor, traditionally.
I Love You, a chocolate.
Okay.
This, similarly, is a donut.
Yeah.
You're Very Sweet, another donut.
Gosh, I know you were just saying the name of the donut, but that really boosted my spirits a little bit to hear you say
Without you, I'd crumble. These are really deep donuts.
Yeah.
The donuts dozens box includes space for a handwritten note from giver to receiver. As well as notes from Krispy Kreme team members around the world.
Most boxes have room for notes. If you've jam-packed a box so full that a slip of paper can't fit inside of it, that is an incredibly efficient use of space.
Yes, they've really made it special for all the Krispy Kreme heads out here. Of course, we have to check in with Dave Scanlon because I'm over here thinking, why on earth did you do this? But Dave can tell you. Dave is here to say,
people aren't just craving delicious donuts. They crave connection. Our new collection satisfies both needs.
Says Dave Scanlon, Global Chief Brand Officer for Krispy Kreme.
A dozen Valentine's Day donuts in our custom donuts dozens dozens box is the perfect gesture to show someone special in your life how much you care about
that them. An unhealthy codependent relationship with them.
Dave, if I may, I know that in this earth upon which we live, there's a lot of discussion about how some people, notably, I would say men, have a hard time expressing their emotions. And so there comes times, like Valentine's Day, when we talk about that and the problems with that. If we have sunk to a level in which somebody's only way of comfortably expressing their emotions is with a donut box with a note scrawled on it. We have so many deeper problems as a culture, as a society, to examine. That it's like, I didn't know how to say this to your face. So what I did, I wrote it on this box, and I did eat one of the donuts on the way over. Like, get it together.
I would disagree on one count. You see, Travis, the box has a space for a note.
Oh, okay.
Did you ignore that part? I would also say,
that
Travis,
I'm looking at the box where said note is. There's a little space on it, and it says, deliver a dough note to someone special, and then has what looks to be two lines to sum up your feelings for this person.
Not a lot of room.
And a to and from. Not even with love. To one and from.
One other brief note. They mentioned in the passing that there are notes from Krispy Kreme team members all around the world.
Looking good.
What could that be? What on earth could that... What messages of romantic love could be expressed to me by the guy that drives the truck from Missoula to the rest of Montana to deliver the donuts?
They're not notes of love, Justin. They're notes of well wishes for the experience you're about to have. There's one that says, I hope you like the cream. Sincerely, the cream gentleman. And he's the one who does the cream. These sprinkles are about to knock your ass on the ground. I did the drizzle from the drizzler.
I tricked your dumbass into buying these from Dave Skinner. Dave is in charge of tricks.
I also want to push back, Travis, on the idea that this is a bad way to show your feelings. There is, Travis, there is nothing you could say to me, no matter how long or well thought out or meaningful it is, that you could say to me right now that would be better to me than a box of a dozen delicious Krispy Kreme donuts with two lines of bullshit in it. One of those is going to really mean a lot to me. And it's also the one that's going to fill my belly with sweet donut bread.
Hey, Griffin, I want to take jokes out of the room for a second. So what you're saying is my love as your brother...
Hold on, wait, let me take this fucking stupid cape off.
Yeah, okay.
What you're saying is that my love for you, there is nothing I could say that would mean more to you than a box of donuts?
Words are cheap. Actions cost money at...
Jeez, Gordon Gekko, what do you want from me?
At stores, actions cost money.
At stores, actions cost money. Without that, what does it mean?
So if I was just like, I love you, you're my brother, I've always been really proud to be your brother, but I didn't have donuts in my hand, it means nothing to you.
No, Travis, that's not what I'm saying. Don't make me out to be a monster. Of course it means something. But can I? I'm not kidding. We record this show just long enough, and Munch Squad hits at the exact point of the recording where I am a mite peckish. The secret for Munch Squad for me is that it's a wonderful little oasis where I get to think about food for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so, especially right now, Travis, no, there is nothing you could say to me that would be as good for me personally than words, because the words are important. They come with donuts, a dozen.
Okay, so just to be clear, I love you, I respect you, I'm proud that you're my brother.
That makes you feel so nice to hear that, Travis. Thank you so much. I feel the same way about you.
Donut box, no words. Which would you choose?
In this exact moment, donut box. In this moment right now, I am not kidding, Travis, hungry and I want donuts. I don't want love, but I appreciate that you're giving it to me.
Count Donuts stared at those stupid fucking donuts so long that my body's hungry.
And can I tell you, I actually really want donuts now, too. I don't care about words.
I'm not even sharing the picture of these beautiful babies with you guys because they look so fucking good. And I'm in my head like, am I going to have to drive to South Charleston? Is that how my day's going to go?
Yeah.
Just kidding. I just go to Jolly Pirate.
Yeah, no baby beats the old man.
No baby beats the old man.
They make the same Valentine's Day donut that
they've
been making since I was a fucking baby.
And it's incredible.
It's a heart-shaped donut, and it's filled with white cream. It's got pink glaze on top, and sometimes there's a face.
And
they kick ass.
It's the exact kind of white cream you want, too. None of that funky custard.
No funky custard here. The good shit.
And if you get there early enough, around Easter time, you can get donut eggs that have colorful sprinkles on them, and they are unreal.
Mr. Alexandropoulos will write a sweet note on the box if you ask him to.
Sometimes you bring little kids in, they'll just chuck a couple glazed donut holes at them.
No fucking questions asked.
Gratis. Hey, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself half as much as we enjoyed ourselves, which is always the goal.
Yep.
It's always the ratio
exactly
we strive 50%.
For
here. What else is going on, guys? What do we want to, Trav, I know you're, are you done with Sketchfest now?
Yes, so you're listening to this the day after Sketchfest. Everybody was there. It was incredible.
You blew it!
What? Why would you assume that? Oh, not me. Them.
They blew
it. Okay.
I don't think you blew it. You're a professional. I've never seen you blow it.
I am so excited. We got new merch up in the merch shop, including the Sometimes It Rains in Trav Nation t-shirt.
So Trav, I'm going to buy that fucking shirt.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to wear it everywhere.
It's so good. We've also got the 20 Fungalore poster by Faye Day Arts. At Faye Day Arts on Instagram, 20 Fungalore pin by Lucas Hespenhide at Moosley Base on Instagram, and Zachary Sterling is at Mr. Zachary Sterling on Instagram. Also, the Candle Knights 2023 video on demand, Pay What You Want, is up there as well. All proceeds for that go to Harmony House, and 10% of all merch proceeds this month will go to the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, which protects and defends the human rights of Black transgender people. So you can check that out and check out all the other merch we've got there.
I want to mention something we almost never mentioned because we stepped away from Twitter and we weren't talking a lot about social media, but we have a fantastic presence on Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
And if you like us, you should follow us there because you're going to get a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of fun conversations about the clips, the videos, the pictures. It's good stuff.
We also stream on YouTube every Tuesday morning.
Yes.
From at like 11:30.
Eastern
time. You can come watch us. We play a lot of fun, silly video games and stuff.
And like Justin said, we've had video clips from the podcast recordings go up on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube, in the shorts and long form, longer like 5 minute to 6 minute videos of them as well. So make sure you check that out. Yeah. What else, Griffin?
Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life Is Better With You.
Yeah.
Good luck at the Grammys, Montaigne. Mm-hmm. Be sick to, and it's our song, I guess, that's getting the Grammy, that's up for the Gram.
That would be
so
killer.
That would be huge for our profile. That's it. Shall we
field Justin, some do you want to read the wish this week?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Griffin and I will do the humming.
This is a wish to Fungalore from one of our listeners. We're amplifying it unnecessarily because he hears your wish. I wish my girlfriend would try a Dorito, even just once.
Don't laugh at the wish.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.